to speak this morning about so walk ye in him. Colossians chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them that Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that is against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why then, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Paul writes this letter to the believers at Colossae, and as his practice is, he writes with teaching doctrine and giving reproof and correction and instruction to help them, to establish them in their walk, their relationship with God, to walk for the glory of God, and also for their benefit. Eileen and I have reached that phase in life where we are being rewarded for not having killed our children. We get to have the little ones around once in a while for them to entertain us, and then we get to send them home, which is a blessing at times. But Kendra is 11 months old, and she enjoys walking, but she relies on somebody holding her hands. But man, I mean, she'll truck all over as long as you want her, keep walking around with her. Denson, on the other hand, at 18 months old, is pretty proficient at it. But watching him the other day, I thought, you know what? Toddler is a very appropriate term for that age. You know, it's kind of like, you know, and all over the place. But they're learning to step. They're learning to keep their balance at this age. They're learning to, they're strengthening their legs as they're walking, and they're keeping at it. And so many times the Bible takes that which is natural in the natural world and uses it as a parallel to the spiritual world. And the development of a human being is no different. There are parallels between the child as it develops and grows through the stages of life, as well as a Christian as we begin to grow and develop through our stages of life. And so I want to look at this and the idea of walking this morning. And first he says, the first point is learning to walk. Look again at verse 7 here, or verse 6, excuse me. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. As you received him. How did you receive Jesus Christ? Now, growing up as a Catholic, I was taught one thing about this. You know, I received Jesus Christ every Sunday morning when I observed the Mass. That's how the Catholic looked at it. And Brother Hardecker made some references to that in his missionary letter as well. They believe that little piece of wafer is the actual, not just representing, we're taught as a child in the Catholic Church that little wafer, a host as it's called, is the actual body of Jesus Christ. We were taught that when the priest puts that little host on your tongue, you're to allow it to dissolve. You're not to bite it, because that's the body of Jesus Christ. It dissolves on your tongue and then it goes into your heart. That's completely contrary to the Scriptures. How did you receive Jesus Christ? At 23 years old, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior by grace, through faith. I trusted what the Word of God had to say, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I received him by faith. I trusted what he said in his Word. Now, I struggled with that for about a year and a half, thinking that I could lose it somehow. And it wasn't until I finally came to realize that I needed to put my complete faith in what God said in his Word. Not thinking about the changes that took place in my life because of the things that I was no longer doing, the drugs and all the stuff that was no longer a part of my life, but the fact that I believed what God said by faith. That's how I got saved. And as we continue in this walk, that's how we're to walk, by faith. But a lot of times we Christians don't do that. We had the faith to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, for Him to take away all of our sins and to have those pearly gates waiting for us, open for us when we die. But we think that somewhere between that salvation and entering those pearly gates, we're just kind of on our own to figure it out ourselves. No, we're to walk by faith. We're to seek God's direction and will and allow Him to have control of our lives. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him by faith, not by sight. But too many of us get wrapped up in looking at and trying to figure it out ourselves and not seeking God's will and wisdom and direction in our lives. Our lives are to continue by faith. You know, there's a lot of pitfalls and dangers that we face out in this world. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Keep your finger here. Proverbs chapter 3. Probably a very familiar passage to most, if not all of you, but I think it's important just to take a moment to read the Scriptures, even though we know them by heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's where we get tripped up, because we want to try to figure it out ourselves. You want to see where the end is going to be and how you're going to get there. And God says, no, you need to trust me. And don't lean on your own ability to figure it out. You know, it's amazing what God can do when we just let Him have control. When we got ready to move here back in 2000, I started looking at renting trucks and everything, you know, and 17 years of accumulation does not fit in a 24-foot moving van. My next-door neighbor's dad was a trucker. He had a 45-foot tractor trailer. And he says, I'll move you out there. And I says, really? He says, yep. And he moved me for less than it would have cost me to rent the truck. And I didn't have to drive it and pay the gas for it. And we fit everything, well, most everything in there. You know, well, I had a S15 GMC pickup at the time. And so we took Eileen's piano and loaded it in the back of the pickup and then drove the truck up into the trailer. So we didn't have to drive that pickup home back here either. And just the way things, God worked every detail of that thing out. I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have figured it out. Trust Him. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. God gives us some instruction here. He wants us to walk by faith. But go back to Colossians chapter 2 now. So as we start, we need to continue by that. But then he says in verse 7, notice this, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and established. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Verse 1. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You need to be careful where you get your information from, where you get your counsel from. The blessed man avoids some things. The counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. To be rooted, established, built up in the Word of God. Don't raise your hands, but in your own heart and mind, answer this question. Do you spend time in the Bible daily? This week I finished my first time through the Bible this year. Now, I'm sure many of you will not read through the Bible in 4 months. But I think you ought to strive to do it at some point. And you know, just 15 minutes a day, you can get through the entire Bible in a year. This book is God's Word. He says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. We need to be in the Word of God, folks. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, or verse 23, excuse me. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is incorruptible seed, by which you're born again. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. This book's important, folks. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Those little ones, Kendra, Denson, and the other ones around here, they need that milk to be able to grow, to develop, for their legs to become strong enough for them to be able to walk. And spiritually, as a child of God, you need this book. It's how you were saved, And then it's how you grow so you can develop and mature and be the child of God that God wants for you to be. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word of God is able to build us up. We need to be rooted and built up and established. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. He talks about these gifts that were given to men. And then he describes the gifts. In verse 8, he talked about the gifts. And then verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. To build them up. To root them. To get them established. For the work of the ministry. You know, my desire is we're looking for a youth pastor. One of the purposes is to get somebody to really invest themselves into the lives of our kids. You say, well, isn't that what a parent's role? Yes. But you know, sometimes I was talking with a mother just yesterday, and she said, our child won't talk to us. But they've got this other individual in their life, and it's a good influence that they will talk to. You know what, parents? There comes a point in your kids' lives when they're not going to tell you everything. But if you got some godly mentor in their life, and we saw this with our son Ben, the youth pastor from across the street where we lived, invested his life in Ben. What a tremendous difference that made in his life. I appreciate that. I'm thankful for that. Sure, I would have liked him to have been able to talk to me. But the fact that he had somebody else that showed some interest, it made a difference. And sometimes, you know, there's just barriers that between us and our kids sometimes. You say, well, it ought not to be. Well, yeah, but sorry, but it is. To invest in their lives. And we see these kids. I want this youth pastor to be able to help them to be part of the work of the ministry. Not just shoved back in a corner someplace in some other room where they're not around. And to see them to be willing to take over the service tonight. That's a blessing to me. That's my desire, to see these kids to grow and be an effectual part of this church. Not just shoved off in a corner. That's the goal of all of us. Not just that we all just sit here and occupy a pew, but we be working in the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Read on, verse 13, he says this, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. We'll get to this in a moment here, but he says, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which the pastor supplies. No. By that which every joint supplies. According to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. If this church is all that God wants it to be, it's going to be with each contributing something. Not everybody's going to be able to stand here and preach. I'm not discouraging you from giving it a try. But let's face it, not everybody's going to be able to do that. But there's something that every joint can contribute to the functioning of this body. That's what God intended. That's what God desires. Yeah, there's a time when you sit there and you take it in and you learn and you grow as you're beginning to learn to take those first steps. But then there comes a point when you're able to run. But you don't go from toddling around to running just like that. Take some time. Rooted, built up, established. Then he says this in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Abounding with thanksgiving. You know, one of the characteristics of the end times, and I think it's a pretty good characteristic of our society right now, is ingratitude. And you know what? I catch myself. We complain, we grumble, we murmur, just like the children of Israel. And we're not grateful. Look, there's things that really upset me about politics right now. You know, what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did recently is an atrocity. I still don't want to go to Syria and live. Or even England. You know, there was a meme I saw recently. It said Great Britain, you can fly to Switzerland to have an elderly parent or individual put to death, euthanasia. But it's illegal to take your baby to Italy to preserve his life. That little child that just died, I think it was yesterday or the day before, the government would not allow those parents to take that child out of the hospital. There were police guards protecting, keeping that child in the hospital to die when the parents wanted to take him to Italy to try to see if they could spare his life. It's crazy. There's stuff, I don't want to... You know, that's not happening here yet. But we grumble about a lot of stuff and we forget to be thankful for the country that we live in. Yeah, I know the gas prices, all that stuff. But yeah, there's always something we can gripe about. But he says abounding with thanksgiving. You know what that does? That helps us to get our balance in our walk and relationship with God. Abound with thanksgiving. So, what I'm trying to do is when I start getting ready to grumble about something, I need to be thankful. Because I'm supposed to abound in thanksgiving. Learning to walk in Him. Secondly, I want you to see this. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 8. Watch your step. Beware, verse 8. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know those little ones, you know, you try to get all the junk out of the way so that when they're stumbling across the living room, you know, not tripping over something and hurting themselves. But you know what? Even us older ones. I think it was Friday, I was out working in the yard, and I was going into the shed to get a tool, and I stepped up on the sidewalk, and it was a little bit damp there. And the next thing I know, I'm lying on the ground. And spiritually, that can happen to you too. It's all not me. No, really. I don't even like to think about the number of men, preachers, that I know that have messed up along the way. Not only sin, but just false doctrine. Calvinism is a false doctrine. It's invading fundamental independent Baptist churches. It's a false doctrine, folks. He says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. It was mentioned this morning about looking up words, and I looked up this word philosophy because I want to make sure I got the thing right. It said, here's a definition of philosophy, pursuit of wisdom. Well, aren't we supposed to seek after wisdom? Yeah. But then it goes on, search for a general understanding. Well, again, that's good to understand things, right? It's good to know what you're talking about. But then it goes on and says, by chiefly speculative rather than observational means. That's the problem. It's a speculative. And the greater problem is this. Philosophy, so oftentimes, is divorced from God. He says, beware of philosophy. Beware, else any man spoil you with philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's what most philosophy today is. It's divorce from God. It's speculative rather than observational. Look at 2 Timothy 3:7, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's pretty appropriate. We got all kinds of knowledge today, but it's not getting anywhere. It's not getting at the truth. It's after traditions. There is no God. Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1 both say, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And much of the world's philosophy is just that, seeking a natural explanation for all things rather than going to the Word of God to see what God has to say about it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the corruptible God into incorruptible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I mean, right there it sets the tone. Gary was talking about that church in New York City. 10,000 members in Sunday school this morning. But the preacher said, oh, it doesn't matter who you believe, what you believe. You know, the idea that preaching that somebody is going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ is a horrible thought. I forget how he stated that exactly, but it's wrong. No, it's not. But the preaching of the cross and the parish is foolishness. Amen. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See, that's that philosophy of the world after the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, by wisdom. Oh, all we need to do is be well educated, and it's going to cure poverty. It's going to cure all our social ills. No, it's not. Jesus Christ is the only answer. The preaching of the cross is the answer. Look at verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. God has purposely turned the whole thing upside down. And He says again, Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Because God's chosen to take the wisdom of the world and confounded, and chose the preaching of the cross to be the means by which a man could be saved. But man wants to find a natural explanation to all things, and they profess themselves to be wise, and they become fools because a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When you start at that point, that there is no God, there can't be a God, you're already off in the wrong direction. And there's no way to get back right again to come back to the proper starting point. Amen. We need to watch our step. There's all kinds of false doctrines and false teachings out there, not only in the world, but in the church as well. And we need to be established in this. To be like the Bereans who searched the scriptures daily to see that the things that they were taught were true. I've said it before, I'll say it again, folks. Don't just take my word for something. You have a responsibility to go to the scriptures yourself to make sure that what I'm teaching matches what this book says. And if I divert from this book, then you need to abandon me and stay with the book. This is God's word. I'm just a fallible man. And I've made mistakes on occasion too. Stay with the book. There are a lot of obstacles out there. But the key is in Him. God's put some barriers. God's put some protections up for us. Jesse and I put in an underground fence this week for the dog. You know, one of those, put a collar on him, and it's been pretty effective. In fact, he doesn't even want to go outside right now. I mean, you know, but we want to protect them. We've lost a couple dogs in that road out in front of our house already. Dog is another one. And he's been across the road a couple times already, so we got to do something. And in fact, I'm thinking about maybe getting another one of those collars. And they've got one where you don't have to have the fence, you just got a controller, you can zap it. I'm going to get that for Jesse, I think. Just clean the room. You know, Eileen, I think I'm talking myself into this. Get your homework done. You know. But God's got some boundaries. We didn't put that thing up to hurt the dog, to protect him. God's got some boundaries up for our protection. I mean, you think about it, go back to the Garden of Eden. God says, here, I've prepared this place for you. I've made it beautiful, pleasant to your eyes, for your satisfaction, for your enjoyment. Just help yourself. Anything you want. Except the fruit on that one tree. You can't eat that. But anything else. God wasn't being mean to them. He did that for their protection. And there's so many things in our lives that God says, look, beware. Watch out. You know, we put those gates up on the stairs to keep our little toddlers from falling down in the cellar or something like that. You're not being mean to them. You're protecting them. God's got some gates that He's put up for us. And God says, I love you. I care about you. That's why I'm warning you, stay away from some things. Be careful. Watch your step. It's all to be built upon Him. It's all to be built around Him. We need to walk with a purpose. Look at Colossians chapter 2 again. Colossians chapter 2. Those little kids, they start walking and they're going around there and the thing is just keep one foot going in front of the other, right? Keep the body balanced on top of your feet and just so they don't fall down. They're not worried about doing any fancy dance steps or anything. It's just the basics, right? And sometimes we Christians get worried about some fancy footsteps. Look at Colossians chapter 2 here. It says, verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body of joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." You know, there's a lot of rituals adopted by Christianity that have no foundation in the Scriptures. Beware about getting caught up in that stuff. The fancy footwork, the ordinances, the observances, the ceremonies. You know, some folks would come to a service like this and say, "Well, you didn't go to church. You know, where was the candles? Where was the smoke slinging around and all the fancy garb and everything?" That's not church. That's not after Christ. But some people, that's what they think worship is really about. All those fancy adornments, all the fancy footwork. It's not a ceremony of observance. It's not some ritualistic performance. That's not after Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. He's given us some instruction now. He says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another." You know how many churches have been ruined because somebody stepped on somebody else's foot and they couldn't forgive them for it, whether figuratively or literally? "Well, he did me wrong." Or no, "His grandfather did me wrong, did my grandfather wrong." And the whole cotton-picking clan is no good. Forgive. Humbleness. Meekness. Long suffering. Forbearing one another. Don't step on other people's toes. But if somebody steps on yours, forgive them. Amen. As the church grows, beware, folks. "Well, I don't like the colors of the curtains." I haven't heard that. I've heard just the opposite. But look, churches are split over that stupid stuff. Who cares? For me, I wouldn't even care if they were there. I like them, just that's not my thing, But folks, we need to be careful how we walk around other people. Gary in his Sunday school class was the one talking about this, about being a witness to unsaved people. Well, I'm kind of getting into Mike's point, but let's look at Ephesians 6:15. You know, when you're walking, you need to have the proper footwear. Ephesians 6:15. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, let me divert just for a moment from what I believe is a proper application of that. And I think this, I don't think this is wrong, but it's not the primary point. The preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to maintain the unity of spirit of the bond of peace as the believers. My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God, it says in the Beatitudes. Striving to maintain that peace among believers. But then also the primary application is this. I'm to take the gospel wherever I go. This is what Gary was kind of touched on there this morning. Wherever I am, I should be ready to give an answer to any man, a reason of the hope that lies within me with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. Taking the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. To be ready at any moment, at any time, whether it's in the store or at the gas station or wherever I am, give a tract. And if God opens the door, to be able to follow it up with maybe some conversation about your own personal relationship with God and how much God loves that individual and how He'd like to bring them into His family and take them to heaven. I think too often times we're too wrapped up, guilty in what we're doing to even think about taking the time to talk to somebody if God opens the door. Are the fields white already under harvest? Yeah, I believe they are. What did the Lord say? Pray ye therefore, the Lord of harvest, that He would send forth laborers. What's missing is the workers. What's missing is us believers prepared to give that answer to any man that asketh, a reason of the hope that lies within us, with meekness and with fear. Yeah, there are some you need to hit over the head to get their attention. But some, it says, with compassion, save them. We're just not ready to do that a lot of times. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Learn to walk. Watch your step. And walk with a purpose. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, Lord, I thank You for this people that You've assembled in this place. Lord, I thank You for the privilege that is mine to be able to stand before them. I pray that I've done what You desired this morning and said what You've desired to have said. But God, I pray that You'll take now Your word, not necessarily what I've said, but what Your word, the scriptures we've read, and apply that to the hearts of the individuals assembled here to help them that they might walk as You would have them to walk, not to please me, but to please You and to glorify and honor Your name. God, there's lost people up and down this valley and all throughout this area that need to see Jesus Christ in us, in the way that we walk and we conduct our lives on a daily basis. That's the thing that You used in my life to bring me to a saving knowledge of You, Father, was the walk of Ken Snyder, the consistency day after day after day of his walking with You. God, may we realize the importance of walking as you'd have us to walk, and strive to make a difference in the lives of others around us. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that's never trusted you as their Savior, may they understand that it's not this church, it's not some ritual, but it's Jesus Christ and faith and trust in his word that makes the difference, that will save their soul and assure them of an eternity in heaven. God, I pray that you'll take this message and you could use it in the hearts and lives of your people here today. In Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen.